the Arizona Diamondbacks. I think it's safe to say surprising a lot of people, signing the year's high-profile Cuban free agent, Yasmani Tomas, to a six-year, $68.5 million deal yesterday. A little less than a lot of people thought he would get. Falls short of Rusney Castillo's seven-year, $72.5 million deal with the Red Sox, and actually matches the free agent deal that Jose Abreu signed with the Chicago White Sox. And, of course, Jose Abreu went on to become Rookie of the Year in the American League. Jesse Sanchez of MLB.com broke the story of the signing, and Jesse Sanchez joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Jesse, how you doing, man? Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, Jeff. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Are you surprised that the Diamondbacks ended up getting Tomas?
You know what? I am. I guess the rumors around the industry and the belief was it'd be someone like the Philadelphia Phillies, somebody like the Giants, because there was this belief he was seeking $15 million annually for 6 or 7 years. So There's only a few teams who can really afford to do that and who can afford the money, who can afford the risk. But I think after evaluating the market, I think what Tomas Camp saw, realized, is they weren't going to get that. So the second best option, I mean, this is just my take on it, is they got a pretty good deal with the D-backs. And it's my understanding there's an opt-out in there also, which is very important. So if he eventually wants to get to that $100 million plateau or whatever he's seeking, if he opts out after 4 years, he's had a solid 4 years, he's still just 27, 28. He can be a prime hitter hitting the market again. I think that was a big reason why. But, yeah, I'm definitely surprised it's the D-back.
Jesse Sanchez joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. How good is he? I mean, I know we haven't seen him play in the majors yet, but what's the buzz on him compared to the buzz on Castillo and Jose Abreu? I guess the two most recent examples we have of high-profile Cuban position players.
Well, Jose Abreu was a pretty neat case. I think the first person to really kind of open some eyes again was Yoenis Cespedes. There were people curious if he could handle playing in the major leagues, how his athleticism would translate. Obviously, he's done well. In Jose Abreu's case, he had this reputation of having success in international tournaments. He had success in Cuban League. I mean, he was a pro. I mean, there was still obviously some criticism. There were some people wondering if he could hit the inside fastball, or if people were nitpicking at his game. He was a special case. I think with Tomas, he just turned 24 a couple weeks ago. Just as with all Cuban players, he's a risk. He hasn't played against the highest level Major League Baseball. He hasn't faced the highest level Triple A baseball. So what really I think people are buying into is the potential, his athleticism, his raw power. He has extremely great raw power. I think if he can harness that raw power and get it game and use it in games, he can be a 30 home run guy. You know, if you have a 30 home run guy who's locked up for 6 years or 4 years minimum, you know, that's a pretty good sign. Obviously, there's still people going to be curious if he can handle the pitching. There's some questions about if he's a good enough corner outfielder. I think all those will be answered spring training going forward. I mean, I still do believe he needs some seasoning. He hasn't played in a game since April or May. So he needs time. I mean, I wouldn't even – somebody mentioned or asked me if he can play winter ball, and I'm not sure that's a bad idea. I'm not sure if the D-backs would want that, but I just know this guy needs to see live action.
Jesse Sanchez of MLB.com joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Jesse broke the story yesterday, the Arizona Diamondback signing Yasmani Tomas, Cuban free agent outfielder, to a six-year, $68.5 million deal. Jesse, I know that the Arizona Diamondbacks were really interested in Melky Cabrera. They had John Vanderwall, their scout, following the Jays an awful lot down the stretch. I know they did a lot of due diligence in Melky Cabrera in the first couple of weeks of the offseason. A lot of people thought they were interested in, and they would be one of the teams that would really be interested in him. Would signing Yasmani Tomas take them out of the market for Melky Cabrera, do you think?
Well, as you know, Jeff, being around baseball, as long as you have, anything possible in this game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything can happen, and we can't just automatically assume one move, you know, eliminates these other moves. But what we know for certain right now is the D-backs do have a crowded outfield. They're going to have Tomas. They're going to have A.J. Pollock in center field. Mark Trumbo's going to be in the outfield. They have Cody Ross is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Another player, Amir Ciarte, is going to be there. If anything, I'm not sure if they want to add outfielders. Again, we're still in the middle of the offseason now. Winter meetings are coming up in a couple weeks. Anything can happen. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they make some shifts, maybe move some guys for depth or another position. But it seems like they're set in the outfield. That said, anything can happen, but I don't think it's unreasonable to think Tomas will be in left field or right field, Trumbo in right field or left field, and Pollock in center. And I think a guy like Melky has to play every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just not sure if that's the fit.
One of the teams that you and a lot of people thought would be really interested in Tomas were the San Francisco Giants. I mean, they have to replace Pablo Sandoval. I think they were probably looking at doing a few things offensively anyhow in the offseason. Where do you see them going right now? Because they've kind of quietly emerged as one of the more interesting teams to follow this offseason.
You know, it would be interesting, and you're exactly right. I think there were some links for the Giants and Tomas partly. I mean, not completely, partly because Jay Alou, Tomas's agent, is the nephew of Felipe Alou,
mm-hmm.
who, as you know, is a special assistant there. You know, the Alou's families are a really famous family in baseball, and I think there was some connection there. I think the Giants were looking towards Tomas as a potential third baseman in addition to outfield. I'm not sure what happened there. Maybe they were focusing on Sandoval. I mean, that's mm-hmm. just speculation at this point. And I'm pretty sure Tomas wanted a deal. I mean, he wanted to get the ball rolling. Remember, he'd become eligible to sign in September. So what normally happens with Cuban players, they'll become eligible, and not long after that, they're going to sign a deal almost immediately. I mean, if you look at Castillo, the same thing happened over the summer. He became eligible, signed with the Red Sox with a month left in the season. So I'm not exactly sure that impact directly the Giants. I mean, they are definitely one of the most interesting teams out there. I mean, you look at all the World Series championships in the past 5 years, that hole at third base is, your guess is as good as mine. How are they going to fill that? But I feel like they can. Maybe they can potentially grab platoon players there. I think people talk about, as good as Sandoval was in October, he wasn't always the same guy during the season. So we remember, you know, the World Series hero, which is a pretty good legacy to be remembered by. But I'm not sure. I think they could find a way to fill in his production during the season with a free agent acquisition, or maybe even just platoon some guys over there. I mean, they usually just find a way to make it work.